perfect opening for the final hour today. Great. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, we're back with Dr. Carolyn Dean, Bob Everett, and Ion. As you were, Bob, I think we're which question we have? We've got a bunch of questions in here that we want to get covered. So where were we, Jesse?
Okay, so we heard...
Muted. You're muted.
Okay. We heard from Marshall 9 minutes into the show, first hour. Then we heard from Bathsheba, and then James Joyce, then Jerry Falwell, then Moses, then Jehovah, and yeah. Solomon, and then Bobby, yeah. and Vestal, and Jesse. Okay. Ion, who is this person who's doing this? Is it a watcher, an observer?
No, it's not one, Bob.
It's not one.
Oh, there's more than one people doing this poetry.
More than one people?
Yeah. how many of them? Two? Maybe a team from the same computer zone?
Oh, maybe they're bi-locating and it's one that's many. Ooh.
So how did someone get the idea from the original metaphor person and then start filming their versions?
Of course, and they wax and wane a bit, but let's clear the boards. Come on, let's go.
Okay, so there was another thought about that. James, you can do
there,
Angela.
There we go. Angela is in Ireland, and she says, don't know if I got last message. Sorry, Ion. After identifying and removing all mine's viruses by changing my thought program, my reality physically changes without me even moving. Using that principle, could I travel to Nibiru? Nibiru, yeah. I think that is. Nibiru.
Okay, you can be, do, have, whatever you want. So,
well, go ahead.
No, she's asking, using that principle, can I travel to Nibiru or Nibiru? And, of course, that's if you ask Ion what you can do, that's only you get the same answer. Yes, of course you can do it.
Well, of course you can.
Yeah. So maybe, Angela, you want to ask a different kind of question, or maybe that's just being emphatic.
Where is Nibiru?
Is that Zachariah Sitchin's land?
Yeah,
James?
Yeah, that's Zachariah Sitchin's land, the 12th planet or whatever. Yeah, that's his territory.
Is there such a place? Yeah, if it can be thought, it is. If it can be thought, it is.
No. It's been named. Your words made it. Your words are what you're using to validate it. If you didn't name it, then it would be in question as whether or not it is.
Yeah, and naming is an extension of thinking. Like whatever
naming is created. Naming is not an extension. Well, it's the end result of thinking.
Right, but until it's named, the thought is where?
It's not.
So we've been saying everything you think is. No, everything you utter is.
That's why we keep taking deference with the words. The words are the tale. The words are the tale. Nah, it ain't them words. Them words. I change. I think a lot of things. I say a lot of things. Okay? Well, then a lot of things are what's created. That's
right. So the thought, before it's uttered, is in the realm of antimatter.
That's why people have these marvelous, they have private sessions with us all day, every day, and we love to play. And they'll say, do I put this out to everybody? Do I tell everybody that it'll be still? And we say, well, you could, or you could keep your ideas to yourself until they're fully developed. And then all of a sudden, it's all validated, because then you know what you know, but you don't have to tell everybody. And many times we'll have private sessions saying, we'll tell them quick. Now, we're not telling the whole world. We're over telling you. There's a difference, you see. So that's that process, that interactive process that syncs up this memes, if you want to call it memes. Somebody thought about a looky box, and then they thought about it, and then they named it, and then they have a peapod, and then they do convinced everybody that they're supposed to have a peapod, and then they convinced everybody that they have to have 2,099,000 apps. And then they convinced them that those apps were the thing that's going to change their world. And then they named the apps, and then the apps became it's kind of like your cellular provider. They ought to give you the telephones away for free because they're charging you for the airtime that you do or don't use.
So, but Ion, what's interesting to me, the category of antimatter, if thought is not manifest, but it is. Could we call that antimatter? What physicists are trying to figure out what antimatter is? It's thought?
Well, we could call that doesn't matter.
Right, doesn't matter. But, Yeah, Captain Beefheart had a poem, "The stars are matter, we are matter, but it don't matter."
It don't matter. It do not matter.
Maybe he said it doesn't matter.
And for the grammarians, that is actually correct in the way he was using it. It do not matter.
Right. So, but is, with using, putting on the erroneous speculations of the physicists, and they have wrestled with this notion of antimatter, and probably they're trying to do something about it in the Hadron Collider.
Well,
but within your scenario, antimatter is thought.
Yeah.
It is what is before it's manifested.
Well, and that's the only reason that all the human creators have all that non-physical already, all this power, more than you can contain now, is because science can't disprove that you have space between yourselves.
Right, so this,
therefore it is.
So dark matter, I don't know if they consider dark matter, if they even know what it is, dark matter, antimatter, but the space between ourselves, which is a non-physical, would that be include antimatter plus more than being just antimatter? Okay, is it antimatter, the space between ourselves?
No, it is not.
So, but thought is antimatter.
Can be.
Can be. Okay, can be.
Depends on if you're going to go at it from dark matter or light matter or unmatter or dematter or unmatter or doesn't matter or from which matter you're referencing it in. See, we have to be careful how we answer it because the human creators are going to listen to this and then they'll tear it all up. So we have to be generously vague so it covers every single time without fail or exception. So you're right, Bob, to try to pinpoint it, but you're going to have to narrow the focus field if you're going to get anything here.
Yeah, you got to give the context. The term antimatter is a figure. The ground is a particular context, dematter or non-matter, these different
positions. Well, but
positions.
The ground, if you take an electron microscope, you can see right through the world. So I don't know so much about that.
Right. Yeah, the ground, the figure-ground relationship from Gestalt therapy was what McLuhan used for saying the content in a medium is the figure, but the ground is the medium itself and how it shapes previous media. That's the larger effect.
Or if you're standing in a space on the planet, is the air that you are displacing because of where your body is that negative air or anti-air?
Right. So the...
You're saying right. That's a question.
I know. So my answer is just right. I acknowledge your question.
So if you go at it from that point, you kind of go, well, that's interesting. Now, wait a second. So I am experiencing a space of anti-air.
Well, the ground is a relationship, an infrastructure kind of thing. It's not physically a ground. It's a bunch of relationships that establish themselves as cultural conditioning.
Creators all day, every day, try to find their ways. They talk to us all the time about how to become more grounded.
Right. So a new technology comes in and upsets the ground, which is the previous culture's rules.
It notices that the ground that they're laying on isn't firm, terra firma.
Right. The new technology does that. It allows them to notice that they were on weak ground.
Bob, are you saying now that the world isn't flat? Wait a second. Now, wait a second. You're not getting away with that. No. That's an established meme, damn it. We know this. The world is flat. And we're going to whoop the man that says it isn't so. We had to bring that back because you were talking about how we say that every week and we hadn't said it in a while, so we had to bring it back in for that.
Right. And so I see ion as a new technology upsetting the grounds of previous cultural assumptions and infrastructures, and as a technology to come forth and zap us into a parallel world, which is happening during this show, is a unique form of travel.
Yeah, it's fine, and besides, it's your weekend, so we tear it up on the weekend, so it's quite fun.
Okay, so I will move to the next character, King James, Mary's B, probably means Mary's boy, right? See, they're quoting you, Ion.
Bloody Mary, yes.
Yeah. Location, Hampton Court Palace. Is that where Mary hung out?
That was her house. Yes.
Okay. Message. The message is, brilliant, Ion. You have unraveled our translation and brought us back, so I think that this is what Mary's saying. No, King James, meaning the Bible. Right, the Bible writer. Brilliant, Ion. You have unraveled our translation, brought us back to the words that were originally written. Now all may understand. God save the Queen.
Rule Britannia.
No, listen to this. It just gets even better. So you got King James celebrating Ion clearing up the King James Version of the Bible. Then you got John of Patmos writes in.
Uh-huh.
Location, Isle of Patmos.
It's an autobiographical.
Yes. Yeah. John from Isle of Patmos says, Ion, I couldn't have said it better. Your words are truly divine and revealing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what Ion saith. He that hath an ear, let him hear what Ion saith. They're getting very excited. And Eternity, if that's the I know who that is, if that's that's the name on our forum, Eternity.
You know if you so, Bob, you're saying you know if you know. So
yeah, you know if you know. Eternity says
we are too.
Yeah, Eternity says, yay, way to go, Ed, and they're thanking Ed of Information Farm for allowing this.
He's very, very cool.
But you know who always has to comment? He comes in every week, Richard from North Carolina.
Hey, Richard.
And since he mentions James, I'll let you do this one.
He says, as a footnote from the McLuhanish POV point of view, your James is wondering who is Paul Winchell and who is Jerry Mahoney on this. Least we forget the James Martinez show. Okay. Good.
Right. So James, were you wondering who Paul Winchell was?
No.
So your James is wondering who is Paul Winchell and who is Jerry Mahoney. Do we know who they are?
I don't. Ion,
all right, then Richard would have to... Yeah, I don't know who they are. Are they guests on your show coming up?
No, no. Uh-uh.
He says, but this is from a McLuhanish point of view. Your James is wondering who is Paul Winchell and who is Jerry Mahoney on this, least we forget, the James Martinez show. Okay, we'll let Richard clarify that.
Right.
Okay. Walter's brother.
Walter Brower.
Walter Winchell.
Oh, Walter Winchell, right, yeah. Oh, okay, and Jerry Mahoney, that would be Carol Mahoney, the senator from New York City, from Manhattan or something.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, James, carry on.
All right, so, okay, this is from Tucson. Location is Martha's Vineyard. Hi, Ion. Your analysis of the Revelation opened up my place of knowing. Could you tell me if the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of Thomas are authentic?
Yes, they are, but not the version you have. You'll have to go back to the original Maccabees through the Apocrypha to apply those. But we have them, the original Sanskrit versions. I hope your ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lloyd's pretty good and a bit of Arabic. But we're going to clean that up. Just put it in the suggestion box, dear, and we'll get to it.
Okay. You just said that the... No, wait a minute, James. You said the original version was Sanskrit.
Yes.
Did the Sanskrit get stuff from the Emerald Tablets?
Yes.
Aha! It goes from Emerald Tablets to Sanskrit.
Aye,
yes, there's a pattern there. And
a
then
pattern. Oh, bubble.
Are these documents, the more real ones, are they in the Ottoman Empire?
Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
That's why you're always mentioning.
Good.
Yeah, I figured out, okay, Carol. That's why we had this nonsense about the Ottoman Empire for the last year. And it's because so much of this background is in their possession because they were there at the time to get them.
So they're holding on to them but not making use of them, it seems.
You'll have to refer back to the latest, or not the latest, but one of the more recent Squidbilly versions, Death to America. The name of his lerm, L-E-R-M, Death to America, and then you'll get what they are reserving.
Lerm is a character in Squidbillies.
That's correct. The name of that particular one is Lerm.
Ah, okay.
So what is the Ottoman Empire doing with these translations and with the head of... Whose head have they got?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. What are they doing with them?
Looking at it.
Are they astral projecting into it and beaming through it and massaging and masturbating with it?
No. The reason, see, that was what they had issue with the third Jesus. They thought the third Jesus was the reincarnation of John the Baptist, and they had his head on a silver plated, well, actually it's brass platter, sitting in the museum, and they charged people money checks to go look at the head of John the Baptist and the hand of John the Baptist. So it couldn't get out and get back with Jesus.
Okay, then... We brought up the three Jesus. Is the majority of the stories about Jesus by the four Gospelers about any? Is the majority of the stories about any one of the Jesuses, like the third?
No, they give the story from what they were told about all three Jesuses, but they only limited it to what you call 32 or 33 degrees of engagement. From the years that he was alive, they were trying to get your numerologist all amorous.
Right.
Give the numerologist an erection, which we're sure it did. And so that's that point.
Yeah, so the third Jesus was the slightly stupider one.
Oh, we don't like stupid.
That's right. I got you to say it. You got that, guys? They don't use the word stupid.
We're not stupid, we're just a little slow.
So the third Jesus was a little slow?
No, not so much. It was just the whole point of the final showing of the differential between power and authority.
Right, so he took on authority and got crucified, and the first two were smarter on that point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get crucified.
So much so that then the very best one they could come up to was the most disconnected of all of them, the fisherman, Peter, and built the Catholic Church on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so if we look at these imagery and think of the crosses and the crucifixion and take the surface idea that that's the third Jesus, the weaker Jesus, not important, you might get entangled up in a knot and be pissed off at the Church. But actually, we can celebrate these erroneous images over the last 22,000 years because they offered a great means of contrast to give us bliss to compare ourselves to.
Oh, it'll be exciting when they start taking the Vatican vaults and start selling them on eBay.
Right, and so that's why nobody is stupid.
Right.
Okay, so I've heard Mary was the most important disciple, says Tucson.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree with that, Ion?
Which Mary?
Okay, so they got to specify which Mary. And Thomas was the main scribe.
He was the main scribe, and he was the doubter. He would be the bald.
Yeah, that would be the effect of writing. You know, it enhances the neutral effect of the eye. You're writing and looking.
He knew how silly it was because he's the one writing this stuff. And he's like, guys, do you realize how silly this translates?
And they didn't listen to him.
You're saying he who ha who da he ha ha. What does he who ha ha who ha 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 regard? Which it? I'm writing this crap down now. Which it are you referring to? Now clean it up. Clean up who, what, when, where, how, and why. We want to know it. We've got to get these degrees of separation. People already aren't going to get this. This is a little new age. Okay, so clean it up. Nope, I'm going to squeeze the lemon on this one just a little bit. I'm doubting Thomas. If we can believe you're the Messiah, if we can come and have your power, and when all this shall be made manifest and come forth, and if you are of a virgin birth, and if you really come from a family and you're not really a bastard and you're not Christian, so I don't know why we're writing about you, because you're Jew. I don't know why the Jews have to take over every good thing, and then why the Jewish, if you're Jewish, isn't good enough to be Jewish, that you now got to be Christian, and when all this is supposed to come back. No, I got what you said, Jesus. Now help my unbelief.
Yeah, James, start calling me Tommy. Start calling me Tommy from now on. Tommy Neverett.
Tommy Neverett. Yeah, that's hilarious.
So then the person, notice it's Tuscon. The name is Tuscon. It's not Tucson. It's Tuscon. And
right.
The location is Martha's Vineyard. Then they say, but then I have no idea which Jesus this would refer to, 1, 2, or 3. Good. They recognize that problem. So Thomas, if Tommy had been at the Council of Nicaea, then they wouldn't have got sidetracked so much.
Sidetracked, they would have never, nothing would have made the canon.
Okay, well, here's an interesting pattern. The oral person makes a big deal out of what's written, but the scribe or writer celebrates the oral. That's the case here. Here's Thomas, he's writing, he's good at writing, he knows the disservice of it, and he's telling these guys, let's not write this down, let's keep it in the oral tradition. And the oral people.
Masons did, and then those that engage in cunnilingus are that way, too.
Yeah, and then the oral guys, they're into the new writing phenomenon, so they become fanatic about what's written, and that be the establishment built on Peter. So the new written victims are chided by Thomas, who's an expert on writing and knows not to be fooled by it. He knows the medium is the message.
Okay.
So did
Marshall say that the message was the medium?
Oh, he includes that. But that's why McLuhan went to Mass every day, so he didn't look like a skeptic, even though he acted like a skeptic.
Well, so how often did they hold anti-Mass?
How long did Marshall hold it?
No, how often did he attend anti-Mass?
That is a good question. Probably he was in anti-mass form. I use the term anti-environment. He used the mass as an anti-environment to the present numbness caused by the electric media.
And that numbness is what he used to validate the impression that he was engaging by solidifying of the words presented in the form of not the Protestant version, but the Holy Catholic version of the words that are laid out, that is. Okay, so that's fun. Even though he was all about it, he spent the rest of his days trying to clean it up so that you could actually get it.
Yep, that's true.
So that's delicious, and that's a great example. So therefore, you could call Marshall Tommy too.
Yep, that's right. But he learned how to be right and happy at the same time.
Well, good luck with that.
It can be done. I'm proof of that.
Good luck with that.
Oh, I don't need any luck. What are you casting aspersions on my reputation as a solid dualist?
Bob, have you presented that you have a reputation?
Oh, that's half
that
the
representation that you have.
That's the half that I left out. That half out, as Bob Neverett.
Let me just say this in the middle of all that. Ion, it's interesting. It appears that the last couple of days there are fewer earthquakes. And actually, there was one today in Ontario, Quebec, Canada, just a 5 or 5.5. So, yeah.
Just a 5.5 in Quebec.
Just. Is there any reason why there's less earthquake activity these past 3 days?
Yes,
why?
Yes, because they're now putting the top. Do you know what a pressure cooker is?
Uh-huh.
Steam valve.
Sure.
On the top to give how many pounds, put pounds of pressure.
Right.
Well, what they've done is they've got a new rubber on the gasket of the pressure cooker, and they put the smallest or the highest setting for foot pounds of pressure in the pea pot, and they've turned the gas wide open. So therefore, it has to use all of that energy, those BTUs, to build steam. Because it's on the highest level of pressure available, then it becomes a more graphic pop when it does shake.
Didn't really say anything to me. You're implying...
No, if that didn't get it. Okay, let's say it a different way.
Right.
Human creators are compounding the pressure, so the next ones that blow... You'll know it.
Okay, so
this is
lessening is the, blow before the storm. But I was wondering if it was lessening because the Gulf of Mexico was letting off a lot of steam that was taking the pressure off.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean, that's just so we can help the copper tone people. So those that are going down to the Gulf, enjoy the beach, they can go get in the water, and they have great sunscreen. They have great coverage. That tar is almost a perfect SPF 40.
Now, what it's going to do, it's going to prevent a lot of what people are creating as skin cancer because people aren't going to go to the beach anymore.
Well, good. Okay. Whatever. Looking for whatever that is. But if you go, you can take your lettuce and your anchovies and your egg, and it's already got the salt in the sea.
No, you can't. You cannot eat this oil.
Oh, who's that?
That's the disclaimer for today.
Yeah, that's the disclaimer.
Get you a pot full and see. And if it makes you sick, have another pot full and see if that's what it was.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's organic, Carolyn. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't care anymore about organic.
Oh, that's good.
You've beaten that out of me.
But it is organic. They're acting like it's his poison. They're acting like it's arsenic or stuff.
Well, what they're saying when you look at the details is it's not just the oil, but the methane and all the dozens of different gases and chemicals that are coming out at the same time.
Good. Get you a compost pile. You have the same thing.
Mm-hmm, methane, right? Mm-hmm.
You certainly do. Otherwise, you can't even compost your silage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no problem. Get with it. And if you don't like that, give it a little more attention and a few more million barrels. Mm-hmm. Isn't it very interesting, though? We spoke in the original first, when it was first happening, of exactly how many millions of barrels were coming out, and they were saying, no, it's just a few thousand gallons. And then it didn't take too long for them to figure out that the jig was up, and now they're saying how many millions of barrels are coming out.
Hey, Carol.
It's all fun.
Yeah, Richard from Ontario, Canada says, maybe 15 minutes ago. An hour and 15 minutes ago. We just had a minor earthquake here in Ontario about an hour and a half ago. Have not had one for a long time. This is a day when the G20 summit starts.
Oh, right.
I on that this is a cool coincidence or a conspiracy.
There are neither. There are neither coincidence nor conspiracy. It's all planned. It's all worked out by you. So now let's see how the NSA controls security at a summit when it's now the entire Earth again.
Ask if this is a coincidence, not a coincidence, or a conspiracy. That means a conspiracy by others. You're saying it's a conspiracy by us, the human creator.
Right. You're the conspirators if there's a conspiracy.
Is that an inner kingdom conspiracy as opposed to an outer kingdom conspiracy, which would be the Trilateral Commission or the John Birchers?
What's the difference?
Between the inner kingdom and the outer kingdom, no difference?
If John Birch crams it down your throat hole and you get it in your inner kingdom and it moves you with compassion or otherwise to an emotion into your middle kingdom, you might as well be the ringleader of the Birch Society incarnate.
Okay, so Tamer from Cairo, Egypt.
Tamer.
Now, is this really Tamer? Is he using his right name or her name?
Tamar.
This is not the prose poet. This is an actual person with a serious question.
Oh, ask the question.
Ion, is the Bible created in our future and placed in our past to be revealed by Ion now?
Yes.
Hey, did you have something to do with the creating of it in our future, Ion?
Of course, Bob. It's future is now.
Yeah, because it's non-physical. You are us, so we create in our future to be revealed, to be placed in our past, revealed by us, meaning all of us.
You could say wholeheartedly that y'all kick it old school.
Right. There's a fine line between you as something separate or distinct and the fact that you are us.
We are more of you than you are of you.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to move through these fast, James. Gabriel, location cosmos. The rainbow is a covenant promise from God. After the great flood, it was a sign from God he would not destroy the world by water again.
Well, then the tsunami victims are screwed, aren't they?
Okay, because I think they were just stating some kind of fact here.
They're making the reference when the Nephilim were destroyed there were three floods. And that outcome was then converted into a promise that the last time the world would be destroyed would be by fire. So, there you go.
So the first flood that nailed the Nephilim was the first flood. And then there was two other floods. Who suffered that?
Oh, them Nephilim, they was busy. They kept squirting out other places, so they had to continually have these floods for crowd control, you see.
Yeah, and then what was it you just mentioned a minute ago? The fire. Where does it become flood, then become fire?
Well, that's the promise, that you'll see it by a rainbow, and that's the covenant. It will no longer destroy the earth by water. The next time we destroy the earth will be by fire.
Is that going to be the fire that they're going to burn in the Gulf of Mexico to get rid of the oil?
Oh, no, honey, they're burning that now, and you couldn't roast a weenie on the amount of fire coming out of there.
Now, big discount.
Yeah.
McLuhan considered fire the symbol for electricity, and we've had the emptying of the Gulf for the last 150 years, so electricity is the fire, correct, Ion?
It's okay with that.
Okay with that point, that interpretation? I'm pretty proud of myself for coming up with that one.
Bless your proud heart.
Yeah. Okay, Martha, location, aisle 11. Did Thomas, Gospel of Thomas, did he know the first Jesus?
No, he did not.
He only knew the third Jesus.
No, he knew of the second Jesus a little and then the third Jesus.
Yeah, he was around during the second Jesus.
But see, he heard about it all, but that's why he was such a doubter. He's kind of like going, you don't even know which Jesus you're talking about. There's Jesus running around everywhere. And then someone was Jesus, and then they started calling him Jorge. So is it Jorge or Jesus? Y'all make up your mind. Come on, get this. Which kid are you referring to? I ain't having it. I'll write it down. I'll listen to you stupid people that were if you want me to, but I'm telling you, there's something on foot here, just so you ain't convinced me. Now, Lord, I know I have unbelief, my beliefs. Help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm like Tommy. I'm saying Douglas Copeland and Terrence Gordon, the people who write biographies of McLuhan, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't even know the first McLuhan. You didn't have any access to him.
Yeah.
Same syndrome.
So what you're saying is Ion, I know what I don't know. Help me with what I know.
Is that what I'm saying?
Well, no, it's a good, if you think about it, it might get fun.
Yeah, so Thomas, the point is these gospelers lived a long time. A long span.
There is no time, Bob. That's just a real new thing.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. Since the printing press, 500 years ago. So you're saying that these guys, they were even maybe, might even be parallel worlders.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the Jesuses were
they watchers?
No.
No.
Not watchers.
Not watchers, but they were. Well, we should just, it's not on tape, but last week's tailgate, or the week before, or maybe it was last week, there was apparently later in the show, we weren't there, but there were the regulars listening, and someone showed up, and they all thought this was a strange person. We found out from Ion that it was a watcher, a world traveler, who showed up to witness the effect of Ion as a new technology. And spoke.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Why, you have something to say, James?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought you'd bring that up at the very beginning, but I'm glad you brought it up now. So, define watcher.
Yeah. Ion.
One who walks among you, not seen by man, not engaging and changing any of your linear paths that you humans hold to tooth and nail, and add little tits and whittles to gauge and guide you into your place of knowing.
As it's portrayed in the Fringe TV series.
That's always the hard side of it, but yeah, it's a much softer version. It's kind of like in coming into your place where people have to have this interaction, and so they won't have it otherwise. Well, then that's good. You don't care where it comes from, just so here's your sign. So there's your sign.
And the watchers don't answer that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so isn't that interesting?
We're finding, like us, they don't care.
We're finding out why the Bible is a pretty amazing document and nobody got it because it was written by people who were not your average human being, your average bear. They were parallel worlders or lived
a
long time.
We have such problems with the 10 million translations of it. translation of
world's
the translation.
Most confusing document.
You get that Lenny Bloom and Nelson Paul. You get that, Lenny Bloom and Nelson, all you Bible thumpers who worship under the arm of Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God and Plain Truth Magazine, you idiots, you stupid people.
No.
No.
I made you agree with me. There are no stupid people.
Well, congratulations, Bob. You win.
I win the game. I'm always winning. Carolyn participates in the majority of the show, and I lose.
But then, and may you rest in peace till Carolyn gets there. That's why Bob's such a night owl. He can get away with it.
I get away with a lot while Carolyn's sleeping. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm multitasking too much today.
Yeah, actually, Carolyn's writing emails. She hardly paying attention to the show. Okay, so Martha continues. Can you talk of Thomas and the finding of his gospel along with the Gospel of Mary in the 1940s?
Uh-huh. Showed up then. They snuck it in. It's there. They from the future to the past till now.
Did Thomas plant it there from the future?
Thomas's mother did.
And the Gospel of Mary is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls also?
No, actually that was sort of skirted in.
Who planted that there?
Well, Mary did.
Yeah, Martha says, I give permission to Bob to squeeze any lemon that may come up.
Well, bless God, the last person that said that's no longer around, so good luck.
Okay, so Hetty, who we've been wondering about, we haven't heard from Hetty. Hetty showed up.
Hey, Hetty, where
you
been?
Thank you, Hetty. He was in our Melting Titanium show last night. Great.
Yeah, Hetty was a major theme on the ESP show. So Hetty asks, he's from the lowlands in Europe, says, yes, thank you, triangulation, and then a little smiley. Talk about the points of triangulation. One point is obvious, Middle Kingdom. The other two ones, give some verbiage on that, dearest Ion. I want at least points. I can then find the third one myself. How about help guide me towards to Outer Kingdom point?
Okay. All right. And so now let's do it this way. Forget the kingdoms. Use that as a metaphor when you figure out triangulation. How triangulation works, if you can find three points, any three points, you can decide if you're inside or outside those three points. That's the way cell service works. That's the way things happen. That's how your cell phone, you have a signal that triangulates from the towers. And then you can look at your phone and see how many bars you got.
Is that why the platonic solids are made up of triangles?
That's correct.
Okay.
And the macabre, but that's another conversation.
Okay.
But anyway, so the triangulation, when you find yourself, let's say you're in your house, and you find three points in your house that you are inside of, that's where you can validate your point of being, where you are. And you can use those three points.
Let me say this. Hey, James.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at you, there's just a linear interaction. There needs to be a third point for us to know some more accurate placement of ourselves.
Well, to find yourself, because you could be anywhere between the first two points.
Yeah.
That's what she's asking about, which is what we were talking about last night.
Yeah.
So you take three points, and if you can find three points and you are contained either within or without those three points, then you know the proximity that you are. Okay, if you can do that, you don't have to have any road signs, you don't have to have any maps, you don't even have to have any kingdoms. In your middle kingdom, within those three points, you can triangulate your position. Okay? You can do that. Then when you're in another world, you can do the exact same thing, and you'll never, ever have to remember going to a parallel world if you can triangulate your position and know where you are. So therefore, then you know how you got there. Well, maybe you don't. Well, you know you went through a portal, so then you're in a different one, and you triangulate that position. Look around at your environment and notice three points. Those three points then let you know that you are in those three points of that particular world.
Is the fourth point the observer that's noticing the three points?
That's what you're trying to find. That's the point of the triangulation, is the point of finding where you are.
The fourth point. The fourth point of looking.
Yeah, the main point.
Yeah.
Right? Your proximity. Because if you can know where you are, you never ever now have to remember where you are, and you can then go back there because of those triangulated points.
Yeah, so a metaphor is A is to B is C is to D. There's four points. The metaphor of experience, the unreality, the duality, is what you're moving towards.
Your proximity of your D-ness in the A to B to C,
right,
to C to the point to find D.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you can take where you are right now, triangulate it, and you know where you are. You don't have to remember. You're in your living room. You don't have to remember. You're sitting out on the deck. You don't have to remember because you can triangulate and you know. Well, once you know, and then you can do that in other worlds, then you can know. Then you no longer have to remember when you have parallel worlding experiences because you'll know because you triangulate. And how you got whatever you did in that triangulated position, maybe it's as simple as stepping outside of that triangle through a gate or a portal to another world. You got that. All the gates are open. People are going in and out of them all the time, but many of them can't seem to recall going. So we say, notice when you step through, and then you're in a different place, or there are anomalies, odd things in your experience, triangulate your position, watch the anomalies, and then you can go back the same way you went. and you no longer have to remember going because you've triangulated your position, so you know where you were. And once you know, then you don't have to remember. The same thing is true with dreams. When you go to your dream world, triangulate your position. So then people wake up and they go, I have this most marvelous dream. And 5 seconds later, I can't remember it. Well, that's because you didn't triangulate. If you'll triangulate, then that can be real because the triangular points will be using your mind in a correct vehicle for your short-term move to your long-term memory that will lock that in. That's why there's 7 places in the short term that you can hold. Telephone numbers are more than 7 folks can't remember. But up to 7, they can just get those in short term and hold them. But if they move them to long term, they can remember their number from 40 years ago.
Okay, fine, Ian. There's a lot in there. We've been talking about this. Most people are confused. You want to find out your relationship to what Ian said. Have a private reading and squeeze a lemon with Ian personally about what these words implicate.
Exactly.
Because you'll just go on, and who knows who got lost. Right. So Barbara from California says, what?
You won't be lost, you'll know.
But yeah, regarding a missing boy who went to another world, did he merge with his doppelganger, or did his doppelganger go somewhere else so he could take his place, or what?
They're both there. They're just, it's called a... In the show Flash Forward,
yeah.
They had Side Forwards.
Yes.
That would be an experience of Side Forwards. And also, another thing, if you want to play with the new Doctor Who series, they do this an example where you can bump in and wave at yourself from a future or a past experience. You can wave at yourself and not be offended.
Right. So the doppelganger is another term I haven't heard that used that is referencing our duality.
You've heard of the doppelganger before.
Oh, I know that term, but not in relation to Ionic talk.
No.
Doppelganger is another word for our duality?
Well, the duplication of you.
Right, and so the boy carries...
Doppelganger version is that can't be, but it can. That's why they call it a doppelganger. See, you human creators, you named it, so why can't that be?
Right, so the boy, like anybody, carries his duality with him, and there's many other versions of the boy, but he basically has brought his duality goes into the other world.
Of course.
Okay, Isabel from Spain. Hi, Carol, Bob, and James. Ion, is service to others one of the ways to connect to Source?
Good gracious, no. I'm out of it.
Yeah, and is that the Jesus message?
Yeah, that's what Jesus was saying. Right, that's right. Don't worry, we'll get there. But
wait. Which Jesus did the third Jesus say service to others is the way to connect to Source?
Nope.
None of them said that.
None of them said that.
So what was Jesus' message?
Take your own power.
You're the Source.
Okay.
Well, he said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you."
That's only because wait a minute, now get to the context. Do unto others as you'd have to do unto them. That's activating love as a force field.
Uh-huh.
If you get control of your inner kingdom, you won't run around on all this other mess and causing all these hurts because you will bring it into your inner kingdom and go, well, wait a second, I'm going to stick my brother in the eye. Okay, before I do that, let me stick myself in the eye and see how that feels. Well, if I find that it's not a pleasant feeling place, then I may consider, before I bring it into my middle kingdom, poking my brother's eye out with a stick.
Okay, there's lots of interesting... James, I'm a bit faster reader than you. Let me go through these. Sheila from
Georgia... Rapid fire. Here we go.
Yeah, Sheila from Georgia says, hi, James. Triangulation. Ion told me to triangulate locally before I go to another location so that when I come back, I know I'm coming back to the same place. But I am not clear how this process relates to remembering, or rather not remembering, where I've been. Thanks for answering the covenant question. I did not expect to answer.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, quickly, in the triangulation point, we'll do it fast. If you can know where you are, you no longer have to remember. So, therefore, if you can't remember, good, because you don't no longer have to. If you know, you know, then you no longer have to remember. And if you'll triangulate your position, you know how to. You know you're going to parallel worlds, you just can't remember it, good. If you triangulate your different positions of where you are, then you'll know when you're back there because you'll know those triangulation points, and you'll know when you got back to where you are because those triangulation points will be very familiar and not an anomaly to you. And this is very interesting from someone
who... Hold it, Ion. Are you there, James?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Just got too quiet. I thought we got cut off. What was the last point? And you're saying from a person, Ion?
From a person who parallel worlds caught knowingly as much as anyone else on the planet.
But you're implying that that the triangulation is in the first world. We're trying to figure out how you are triangulating in another world.
The same way you triangulate in this world.
So you're always just triangulating and looking around. And
here's a chair. Here's a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a sofa. I'm on the sofa. Okay, I've triangulated. And then you look around and you're in Bombay, India. And you go, wait a second. Oops, something's different here. There's an anomaly. Okay, wait. Don't do anything. I don't have to remember. Iron said this is not about remembering. Okay, Bombay, there's a bench. There's a temple. And there's a street corner, and here's a bench that I'm sitting on. Okay, so I triangulate that. And then whatever happened that moved you from your sofa to that bench in Bombay, India, you go back that way. So if you stepped across something or something changed in an anomaly, then you'll know when you get back on your sofa, because you'd re-triangulate chair, bar, sofa, and I'm on the sofa. Then you go, but wait a second, I triangulated something in Bombay, India. Boom, boom, boom. So you don't have to remember that, because it becomes a knowing, not a wondering. And that's all this point is then you don't have to remember the triangulation point if you get back there, because you thought, oh, that was so beautiful. I want to go back to that meadow and the bubbling brook, blah, blah, blah. Then the same thing is true. That triangulation point will let you think up that new place that you're going.
Okay, there's a weird voice coming in. Was that James?
That was me, yeah. That was the speaker system fluctuating.
Were you saying something?
No. I wasn't.
Triangulate your point.
Oh, okay. So why did it have
a point? So you'll know.
So that the voice was not made by you?
No.
Okay. So that was strange, an anomaly.
That's an anomaly. Triangulate the point, and then, James, you'll know where you are when that took place. So if that happens again and you're in a different place, then you triangulate that place, and then you'll know the difference.
Okay, we're saying everything fast. This past 20 minutes is going to be, and the final part of the show will be something you re-listen to. Okay?
Tear it up. Let's go.
Yeah. Robert in Tottenham. Hi, guys. Just sending you delights from the confines of my little computer. I have a question for Bob, Ian, or Carolyn. Did Marsh McLuhan ever teach in Utah? Not that I know of. I ask because it seems to be a computer internet teaching hub. It's a paradox about McLuhan, like he did the books telling you how not to read books. He definitely was not for computer life spreading. He thought we should stop it for a while and check out the effects before we implemented computers, but he knew we couldn't stop it, so he remained in the paradoxical interval, and so it's two ways of looking at whether
he... That's like saying, look, now, darling, wait till you get married to enjoy intercourse.
Right, and it's not a definite position that Marshall would have about the computer internet, and you couldn't say he caused it, but probably everything's two, so he was two, so yes, he did do it, but he regretted it, but he's happy that it crashed the economy.
Let it go. Next.
Yeah. Name from eternity. Ion, my daughter asked me to ask you what World 122 is like.
Oh, delightful, confident. A much easier flow of gratitude, a much simpler form of knowing, a more pleasant, delightful, achievable, desire place of fun.
Okay, would you mind, Clarence, I'm some aspect for you did that. Green Bra in Green Braville says, hi, everyone. Ion, I've been activating the love force field, and my lottery numbers have been lining up like crazy. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Then Virginia in Indianapolis says, Winchell was...
44 is the Powerball.
Okay. Virginia in Indianapolis, Winchell was a ventriloquist, and Jerry Mahoney was the puppet with the wooden face that Winchell manipulated and spoke through.
Right.
So we could go back up and look at what she was...
And that's why we made reference to Walter Winchell, because that's the whole fun or interplay of that Punch and Judy scenario, which was the same as Walter Winchell. Good.
Right. As a footnote, Richard had said, from a McLuhanish point of view, your James is wondering who is Paul Winchell and who is Jerry Mahoney on this, lest we forget the James Martinez show. So, James, I guess you were wondering whether I was or Ion was or Carol.
Who's the puppet master? Who's the ventriloquist?
Were you wondering that, James, privately?
No. I don't know.
Okay.
None of that.
Okay, good. So B-52, she's a regular on the farm. Jerry Mahoney was a dummy from my childhood. Very funny puppet. So she's confirmed Virginia. Robert in Tottenham says, I have a question, too, for James Martinez. If so, is Marsha McLuhan a good ambassador of the Internet we see today more so than when it began? No, I'm the better ambassador of the Internet. Okay, so, yeah. No, Marshall's not relevant to today.
Bob's illegitimate children that he's having to take care of.
Yeah, so go for me if you want to know what Marshall would have been if he had stayed here. Richard from North Carolina. In the early days of television, Paul Winchell was a puppeteer and Jerry was his puppet, the one with the wooden head. The question is, in the Bob and Ion meme, who is the puppeteer, who is the puppet? Who's pulling the strings? Who is the medium? Who is the message? Good question. We're still working on that.
Good. News at 11.
Yeah. It's like when I asked Zappa, what his song meant, the song Who Are the Brain Police, I asked him, at, you know, 22, 24 years after he wrote it. He said, I'm still working on that. Very smart statement. Sheila says, if you have time, Ian, could you please expand on your statement and your revelations analysis regarding the white rock? Quote, the white rock is the purity that will change your RNA and will be the essence of your new DNA equivalent, unquote. What is the purity you are referring to?
Picking up pawpaws and putting them in your pocket. Go ahead, Bob.
Pawpaws?
Pawpaws, yeah.
Okay, Martha. Okay, last question answered. That was our Martha in aisle 11. Robert, this information of audio and us and them and this and that and digital and ones and O's and the interpretation of the text and the book and the scribe and the chip and the information lingua franca of creation is changed rapidly by the people who carry the influence of the content from mind to text to audio or tele MP4. Is Marshall getting this? Yes, he is. But I'm translating it.
Good, let her go.
Yeah. Robert Tottenham. We just heard from him, right? We're getting close to the end. This, if the guys were not distracted, the nuts and bolts would have been better. Jesus spilled his stuff, too, and fueled a lot of creativity, but the spill always has an effect. You agree with that, Ian?
Well, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pam in Connecticut. Thanks for a good show. We are back on track after a couple of really boring weeks. Love you, Ian.
We love you as well. Very good. Okay, click it up.
Yeah, the final, that's not Pam, it's Pammy. So then Pammy follows up. By the way, did Sheila and James hook up while she was in L.A.? Yes, they did. They have a baby. James is pregnant. For this special treatment. They hook up while she was in L.A. for the special treatment he shows her on the show. Did you hook up? So did Sheila and James hook up while she was in L.A. for this special treatment? He says that she was a parallel worlder and was obvious on the show. That was not intentional, right?
No.
James?
No.
That wasn't intentional, was it?
No.
Hat boy don't kiss and tell. What's the matter with you, Bob?
Very good. Well, we wrapped it up. We got 28 seconds left.
All right.
And Robert are flying around the front yard.
The Counts Bad Boys right, are gathering here.
Thanks
convening.
Thanks so much, everybody.
What'd you say,
see
Ian?
You tomorrow.
And
thanks a lot. Thank you very much, Ian.
Wait, Robert says from Tottenham, thanks. Last message, thanks.
All right. Thanks,
Ian.
Thank
thanks,
Carol.
Thank you
all.
Thanks, we love you more than you know.
Back right next on. Week. Maybe.
Ka-ching. AchieveRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. This is James Martinez from The Cash Flow Show. For years, you've heard me speak about your money, your financial future, and your responsibility to yourself. Today, more than ever, with increasing toxicity in our foods and water, it's time for you to take charge of your life and take back that which is rightfully yours, your health and your wealth. I'd like to introduce you to Ion Ways, the answer to your health and financial future. If you're looking to start your own business or take back your health, Ion Ways is the solution. Please go to www.ionways.com/James Martinez. Whether it's to start your own business or take control of your health, you'll not find a better company and products to do so. For the best in the market of energized, ionized, and alkaline water, go to www.ionways.com/James Martinez. For powerful antioxidant effects, superior hydration, more oxygen, and proper pH, remember, health is the only wealth. That's www.ionways.com/James Martinez. We'll be right back.
Sometimes you picture me, I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me, I can't hear what you've said. Then you say it goes wrong, I fall behind. The second hand unwind. If you look, you can look and you will find me. Time. If you fall, I will catch you, I'll be waiting.